Can people hear me? Okay. We left off in Chayrus and Daf Mem Ches Amir Aleph. Maybe we'll start again the topic. Usually we have a din and Safik Beraisa L'Chumra that applies both to mitzvahs and to averis. If you have a Safik whether something is osir or not, so me Safik you're not allowed to eat it. You have a Safik if you're obligated to shake a little bit of Blo Shefer, you're mechuyev to do it again. So one would have thought that by Pidyon Aven, it's a mitzvah, we recite the bracha, shekadishana v'mitzvah sev tzivano. So if there's a suffix, let's say my wife had twins, a baby boy and a baby girl, and we're not sure which baby was born first. So if the girl was born first, then there's no Pidyon Aven. If the boy was born first, then there is a chiyuv Pidyon Aven. So one might have thought that Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, you have to do the mitzvah without a bracha. Like the Rambam says, whenever there's a Sofik mitzvah Deraisa, you have to do the mitzvah with a Sofik brachas L'Hakel and the Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra. So here the Mishnahs keep on repeating, case after case after case. Whenever there's any Sofik, we say, Hamaitz Machaver Olav Harai. Since the nature of the mitzvah is to give money to someone else, and Avi Aben is the Muchsuk, so if there's a suffix, so we say, suffix mamayna lakula, he's not obligated to give the pidyon aven. So the Mishnah gives an example. Let's say there are two couples. Each of the couples had a baby. And the babies were mixed up. We're not sure which couple has which baby. So one had a boy, one had a girl. They're both having the first baby. So the baby for sure is a b'chor. When the baby grows up, he has to have pidyon aven. When it becomes bar mitzvah, he has to do pidyon aven. But neither husband, neither father has to do the pidyon aven because each one is a sofek, whether that b'chor was his baby or his baby was the girl. So that's the Mishnah has such an example. So when the child grows up, he'll have to do his own pidyon aven. He'll have to do his bar mitzvah. But before bar mitzvah, neither husband, neither father is mechuyev, because each one is a safek. Is he the father of the baby? That's the b'chor. So then the Mishnah has another example. Mishnah has here, Mishnah Mem Ches Amud Aleph. One couple, and they had twins. Both boys, you don't know which baby was born first, which baby was born second. It doesn't make a difference because the father of the baby is mechuyev to do a pidyon aven anyway. He doesn't know which baby is the b'chor, but he has to do anyway. What if one of the babies died before the Yom Lamed Aleph? So maybe that was the b'chor that died. Maybe it's the pashut that died. You don't know. So then the father is not mechuyev to do pidyon aven. What if one of the babies died after Yom Lamed Aleph? No. After Yom Lamed Aleph, the father was already in the schayef to do the pidyon aven. So just because the baby dies afterwards, it doesn't part to him from the mitzvah. Tosfos just has a suffix. Take a look in the Tosfos Mem Tes Amud Aleph. The Ramaskal Meitz Bino. The wrong Tosfos, the next Tosfos. The Ramaskal Lachish Loshem Yom. If the baby dies after 30 days, then the father of the baby is mechuyev to do a pidyon aven. Because the baby was alive on Yom Lamed Aleph, there was a chiyuv. So Tosfos points out, the Gemara, the very end of Psochim. But now they often make a siyum for Tainus Pchoiris, so they make the siyum on Maseches Psochim. So that whoever's making a siyum reads that Gemara. When you do a pidyon aven, so you say two brachas, you say, Davi Aben says a bracha, Shekhrishan Sasan al Pidyon Aben, and then you say a bracha, Shekh Yonim. So the Gemara has a Sophie, who says the Shekh Yonim? Avi Aben says the Shekh Yonim, because he's excited that he's doing a mitzvah that's rare. It comes, how many people have a Pidyon Aben? Very rare. Or should we say that the Koyim says the Shekh Yonim, he's excited that he's getting five slot, he's getting the five shkol. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, the Hilchasa of the Aben Mevorach Shtayim. Father of the baby says both. He's excited that he's doing the mitzvah. The Tosfos says, Mesupek, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Tosfos says, Mesupek, what if the baby died The father didn't do the pigyon haben on the Yom Lamed Aleph. He waited a day or two after. And then the baby died. So nonetheless, even though the baby's not alive, there's still a chayav pigyon haben. That's the Mishnah. Baby dies after Yom Lamed Aleph, he's mechayav pigyon haben. Tosfos is not sure whether it makes sense that the father has to say Shatyon. Father is so upset that his child died. So does he still have to say Pigyon Shachyonu over the fact that he's excited over doing a rare mitzvah that comes very rarely? Or should we say no, since he's so upset over the death of the child, he's doing a Pigyon Haben on that child, even if he does a Pigyon Haben 10 years later. But he's doing a Pigyon Haben on a dead child. So maybe it does make sense to say Shachyon. So that's the Sopik. In Shulchan Aruch they quote the Sopik. Here the Mishnah, and then Ches Amar Aleph, quotes a machlokes Reb Meir Reb Yudah in a specific case. So what's the case? So they have, we'll do the Mishnah again. Mishula Bikre Ishtoi, the wife is giving birth for the first time. She has twin boys. So the father has to do Pigyon Haben, even though he doesn't know which one came out first, which one second. It was dark in the room, and we don't know which baby was born first. But the father still mechayev to do pigyon haben. What if meisach mehem mitol shloshim yom? One of the babies dies before 30 days. The father is potter from pigyon haben. And later on, when the surviving child becomes bar mitzvah, he's not mechayev either. It's a safek mamayin alakul. It's a safek whether he was the b'chor or the brother was the b'chor. So he's not obligated. What if the two babies are alive, but the father dies? So do you collect the pigyon haben from the children? So each one of the children is a suffix if he's mechayev to do pigyon haben. We don't know whether this baby is the b'chor or the other baby is the b'chor. So neither, he said, on each one of them, he said, hamotzi mechala v'araya, neither is mechayev to do pigyon haben. So the Mishnah quoted some kind of a machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yudah regarding this case. They said, the father died, v'abonim kayam, both of the babies are alive. Rameh says, if they paid the pigyon haben money at Shaloi Chilku, before they divided the Yerusha from the father, they got older, they reached 25 years old, and then they decided to split up the Yerusha. So if they gave the pigyon haben money from the father's estate, from the Yerusha, from the father, before they divided up, so the Kohen can keep it. Nasnu. The Kohen keeps it. Because for sure, one of them is Bukhig pigyon haben, they're giving the money from the father's estate. However, in love, but if they didn't give it before they divided, then they divided. So you go to each son and you want to ask him for pigyon haben. Each one is on Mertzim HaChaveh Olaf Araya, so you can't collect. Rav Yudah disagrees, no, it was already Nischaiva HaNachasim. Since the father died after the Yom Lamed Aleph, so the father already became a Chuyav. So there's a Sheba Nachasim Chal on all of his assets. So since there's a Shib Nechasim, we have a right to collect from both of them, even though one of them is not a Bechor. Only one of them is a Bechor. We don't know which one. But both of them, Yarshin, from the father, assets that were in the Shtabdu. There was a Shiba Kalan and a Nechasim. They were in the Shtabdu. So even though we'll collect equally, they're both divided. Nobody gets any peace time over here because we don't know who was born first. If you would know who the Bechor is, he would get a double portion. You would divide the Yerusha into three parts, and the Bechor would get two shares, and the Poshet would get one share. But we don't know which one is the Bechor, which one is the Poshet. So nobody gets a Pish 9. So they divide 50-50. So even though one of them is not Mechayev to give Pinyon Haben for himself, we don't know if he's a Bechor, but the Nechasim that they Yarshan from the father already had a lien on it, already had a Shiv Nechasim on the asset. So that's why Rabbi Yudah says you can collect half of the pigyon haben money from one son, half the pigyon haben money from the other son, because the nechasim and the shtabda. Like if the father had borrowed money, let's say the father borrowed money and he dies, and he leaves over assets, and there are two children, they divide 50-50. So he had borrowed $1,000, so each one got an equal share of the Yerusha. So he borrowed $1,000, each one has to cough up $500. So together, if they wouldn't yarshin anything from the father died penniless, they're not mechuyev to pay the halvos of the father. But they yarshin the money from the father, and the father was already mishuvit. Father had borrowed $1,000, and since they yarshin equally, 50-50, so each one has to pay half of the halvos. each one has to pay $500. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So the shayla is, why does Rabbi Meir disagree? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. So first the Gemara suggested, they will read in the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, Denisa or Demas, exactly when did the father die? That there's a case where there's a machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Meir. When did he die? Within the 30 days or after the 30 days? So the Gemara says, Ilema, if you should say, Denis l'achalam yom, after 30 days, so it's very kvar nishtabdu hanachosim. The chiyuv is chal on the yom lamed aleph, so this is shiv nachosim. So then the father dies after the shiv nachosim, he should be able to collect half of the pinyon, then the pinyon then is five sloim, five shkolim. He should be able to collect 2.5 sloim from one brother, 2.5 sloim from the other brother. Because they divided the Yerusha equally, and all the nachosim were nishtab. That's what Rav Yehuda said, nishtabdu hanachosim. So why does Rav Meir disagree? Makes good sense. Elamai, the father died. Ela demis betoch lamad yom. Elamai, the case is the father died within 30 days. So within 30 days, the father was not meshuvah to give. But each one of the sons is a suffix if he's the pchor. So why should either of them be mechuyev to pay? Each one says, Hamotzei mechaver levarai, prove that I'm the pchor. The neither is, the father was never neschayev. If the father died before the Yom Lamed Aleph, the father was never neschayev to give pidyon then. So there was never chal shiv nechosim mechay ha'av. So after the father dies, when the children become bar mitzvah, the one who is the b'chor becomes obligated. But you don't know who's the b'chor. So hamotz mechorel avra, you can't collect from either. So it doesn't make sense for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, kvar nishtabu hanechosim, and they both have to chip in and get pay half the pidyon then. Why? It wasn't nishtabu hanechosim. That's the Gemara's kasha. Must be the father died within 30 days. So within 30 days, during the lifetime of the father, there wasn't chalashibud on the chasim. It was mechuyev. So mashna kicholku, why is it if they split up the ozalaga, then I say each one is a suffix chor hamotz me'elavarayim. The ozal, the koyim will go legabihai matchele. Koyim goes to one child and he says, I don't want to give you the money. Maybe I'm not a chor. And then the ozal gabi hai, also matre, goes to the other son, he says, also matre, mechamel overai. So the Gemara says, so why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you can't collect? And for the Gemara, an answer that's not going to remain, the Gemara is going to reject it. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, zos hameres, from this Mishnah you see, what if I have a star that says that Yosef ben Shimon owes me $1,000, and there are two people in the city with the same name, Yosef ben Shimon. It says, somebody, Yosef ben Shimon, who lives in this neighborhood in Washington Heights, owes me $1,000, but there are two people with the same name. And each one claims that he's not the one who borrowed the money. But there are only two people, Yosef ben Shimon, so it's either one or the other. So he says, so some merits in the Mishnah, you can establish the following din. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon, Shohi B'Yerachas, they both live in the same city. And the Malveh has a shtar halvor that says that Yosef ben Shimon owes him $1,000. So you can't collect from either. However, the two people with the same name, Yosef and Shimon, bought something together, the shutvist, that's worth more than $1,000. So the din is, for sure, either this one or the other one. One of the two people owes me the money. So I can collect the money from the nechassim that's on the shutvist. They bought an automobile, or they bought the a building, whatever they bought, but the owner b'shutvus, either this one or the other one owes me. So for sure I have a right to collect the money from the nechassim on b'shutvus. Now, how are they, now that they should no longer be shutvus 50-50? Let's say the automobile is worth $30,000, and Yosef and Shimon, whoever he is, owes me $1,000. So I have the right to collect for sure $1,000 from the automobile. But now the $29,000 is not to be divided 50-50. The $30,000 automobile belonged $15,000 to this brother, $15,000, $15,000 to this Yosef ben Shimon, $15,000 to the other Yosef ben Shimon. And I collect $30,000, so that's $1,000 for either one or the other. So they'll have to work it out amongst themselves. One should remain with $15,000, one should remain with $14,000. You can't figure out who's who. So that'll be a problem. They'll have to work that out. So that's Rav Yehuda said, that must be pshat in the Mishnah. since the two brothers, one of them is a b'chor, one of them is not, and they have the assets of the father, the yashin from the father, the yerushin. So they have the assets. So it's the nechasim are not nishtabdu v'chayhav, because the father died before the yom lamed aleph. But it's a suffix, which one of the two is the b'chor when they reach by mitzvah. So the one who is the b'chor becomes mechayv, but you don't know which one is the b'chor. But now the only assets the shutvus together. So the kohen has a right to collect from the assets that they own the shutvus. So the Gemara says that it's not correct. Rava Taina that it's wrong. Omar Rava, a few lines later, nichdi nichsi de barinish in arvin bay, the right to collect from a person's assets. If a person owes money, let's say here we're talking to the person, whoever is the real poor owes the pidyon ben, he owes 5 shekels to the kohen. Or let's say the other case. Somebody by the name of Yosef ben Shimon, there are two people with the same name in Washington, right? Somebody by the name, one of the two, borrowed $1,000 from me. We can't figure out who. And now they both have a shutfis in some property. So the ability to take away from the karka, the ability to take away from the assets of the person, is based on orbus. Just like an orev is a cosine. So if a person goes to the bank, yeshiva guy goes to the bank and wants to borrow $100,000, so the bank won't lend him any money. He doesn't have any job. He's just sitting and learning. So you have to come up with a cosine that says his father will probably cosign for him, and the father has a job, and the father has a lot of money in the bank. So the bank will lend him the money. So the right to take away someone's assets because he owes money is something similar to orgus. Nichti, Omar Rava, nichti, think a little bit. Nichti de barinish, the assets that you have are considered in an arvin bay. It's considered as if the assets are in orev on behalf of the loiva. The loiva owes my, here it's a pidyon haben, in the other case it was a Yosef and Shimon who borrowed money, borrowed $1,000 from the malva. So to take away from the assets, you're not taking away from the loiva. What right do you have to take away the karkois? That something like an orev, a cosigner. Since the loiva is not paying the money, I go away and I confiscate his assets. And we have a din in the Mishnah. How can it be miyukamidi? How is it possible? The mother cannot collect from either one Yosef Shimon or the other. The queen cannot collect the pidyon haben money either from one child or the other, even though they're both by mitzvah now, because I'm about to mechirel avra. You don't know which one is the pchor. In the other case, you don't know who's the real Yosef Shimon who borrowed the money. So how can it be if I go to the loiva himself, to the children themselves, I cannot collect? Each one says, I'm Batsam Harel of Araya. And nonetheless, from the Erev Matzi, the Orev, Matzi Tava, and from the Orev, from the cosign, you can't collect. That's Keneged Hadin. So the Gemara says, Bahatanan, don't we have a Mishnah? In the end, the Baba Basa, Mavis Chaver, Ayidei Orev, if the Malva lends money to the loiva, then there's a cosigner. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to collect from the cosigner. It says, not allowed to collect from the cosigner. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? That's the whole institution of Orbis, that you should be able to collect from the cosigner. The Kai Malon, and we have a tradition that the Pshat and the Mishnah is not the way it sounds. Le'yifim in Orbis, period. You can't collect from the cosigner. No, there is an institution of Orbis, but the Kai Malon, we have a tradition that Pshat and the Mishnah is Le'yifim in Orbis, Chila. You can't go to the Orbis, first you have to go to the Loiva. And if the loiva doesn't have assets to pay, then you go to the orev. So over here, if you go to the loiva, you're going to the two children who are bar mitzvah now, and it's a sofek, which one is a pchor, each one says, it's a sofek, I don't have to pay. So what right do you have to take away from their karka that's on the shutfis? The father died. Father died toch lamed yom. So the nechasim, the father never became mechuyav to give pidyon haben. But then the father died, and the assets are on the shutfis by the two children. They didn't divide it up yet. And then they become bar mitzvah. They become bar mitzvah before they divided it. So when they become bar mitzvah, then whoever is the right bechor is obligated to give the pidyon haben. But we don't know who's who. So you cannot collect from either of the children. So how can you say you have a right to collect from the karka? Because mimanashach, either this one is the bechor, that one is the bechor. You can't take away from the karka. Can't take away from the chsoid de barinish, the assets that a person owns, are compared to a cosigner. You have no right to collect from the cosigner without first going to the loiva. So how can you take away that? You go to the loiva, neither loiva has to pay. Neither child has to pay. Neither Yosef B'Shimon has to pay. Each one says, "Amatz Machabel of Arayim." How do you have the right to take away the karga? So the Gemara backside Gemara said it's not true. Elomar Rabbi says the pshat that he suggested is wrong. Who suggested? Rabbi Yirmiyah said Zosa Meres. In this Mishnah, you can see if there are two people in town with the same name Yosef Ben Shimon, and the Malva has the shtar halvor that says Mr. Yosef Ben Shimon from Washington Heights owes him $1,000, and they have a shutfis and some property that the Malva can collect from that property. So you see, it's wrong. The din is incorrect. It can't be. Logically, it can't be. The Elomar Rabbi says no. The Maisa Shoy over here is Elomar Rabbi. The Yom Shemais Lachalam Yom. The father died after Yom Lamed Aleph. The father became mechuyav to do the pidyon then. And when the father becomes mechuyav, then ishtabdu hanuchasim. If he does want to pay the money, the bezna will take away his karka. Then the father died. So the karka goes birushit to the two sons. So the karka is meshubed for five shkolim. So Kolzman, they didn't divide the yerusha from the father. You certainly have a right to take away the five shkolim from the karka, because the karka was nishtabdeh. Because the father didn't die till after Yom Lamed Aleph. Father, the karka was nishtabed b'chayeho. But the machlokes of Yehuda and Meir is, what if the children made a chalukah? The shibud was chal on the karka during the lifetime of the father, and then the two brothers make a chalukah. So now if you go to either one of them, you can't collect because it's a hamotz machavel of haraya. But can you collect based on shibud nechasim? So the Gemara is going to develop a whole story over here. It's a real nizikin. This topic is real nizikin. This belongs in Bava Kama, Bava Tzia, Bava Basra, these din. So we started to explain last week. There's a Mishnah in the very end of Bava Basra. The Mishnah says there's a difference between Milva Bishtar and Milva Alpe. That Milva Bishtar, whenever the Rabbi Tam has this expression, Shnei Shibudim Heim, there's a Shibud Aguf and a Shibud Nechasim. When you borrow money, or you mazik someone, or your behemoth mazik someone else, whenever there's a chiyuv chal, so there's a shibud aguf, I owe money, let's say I borrow money, I owe money, that's shibud aguf. And then I say, there's also a shibud nechasim. My karkois, I'm the shibud, the malva has a right to take away from the karka, even if the loiva will sell a karka to the kuchas. And the lekech never borrowed any money, the lekech is not mechuyav to pay. Nonetheless, the malva has a right to take away the karka because there's a lien. Because there's a lien on the karka. So it's nishtab b'hanachasim. So the Mishnah, in the end of Bava Basra, draws a distinction between a milva alpeh and a milva bishtar. If it's a milva alpeh, you cannot collect from the lekuchas. Because milva alpeh, people who borrowed money don't want the whole public to know that they're in need of money. So that's the Gemara's lashon. Man de Yosef, Bitzina Yosef, a person who borrows money is going to try to keep it a secret. People are not going to know. So if you're going to say that there's a shibud nechasim, then it's going to be a big tzedek de lekuchas. The malva will have the right to take away from the lekech the karka, and it was a secret that there was a shibud nechasim. The loiva doesn't want the public to know that he's in need of money. He's going to try to sell some of the things he has around the house that he doesn't really need, so people are going to know that he's hard-pressed for money. They're going to offer him a very low price. They're not going to offer the right price. That's why the Gemara says, Man de Yosef, one of ours, Man de Tzina Yosef, is going to try to keep it a secret. And this may ruin the real estate industry. People are not going to want to buy karka if they know that the karka may be taken away because there's a lien on the karka. So if, when the loiva borrowed the money, he gave them all the shtar, so the milva the shtar, then it's going to be islay kola. Because the edim who signed on shtar, it's understood they will tell the public they have the right, it's not an Issa Lashon Hara, they have the right to tell the public that they signed the shtar and the loiva owes $1,000 to the malva, whatever he owes to the malva. But if it's a milva bal peh, then man de Yosef, it's in the Yosef, we're going to try to keep it a secret. And then we say there's no shibud nechasim. That's what the Mishnah says, there's a difference thing. There are two differences in the Mishnah between milva bishtar and milva bal peh. This is one difference. Does the malva have the right to take away the karka from the lekuchas? The loiva sold the karka to the lekech. Lekech didn't borrow the money. He doesn't have a shibud aguf. And the loiva who borrowed the money is broke. He sold all of his karkas and he gambled away the money. He has no money to pay. So that's called Shivna Chasim. The mother has a right to take away from the Lukuchas, but only if it's a Mala Bishtar. Lula Alpeh, you have no right to take away from the Lukuchas, because then you're concerned that there's so much state of the Lukuchas that ruin the whole real estate industry. No one will want to buy any carcass. That's one difference. Then the Mishnah has another difference. If I come with Aiden, who testified that I loaned you $1,000, and you say, Paraiti, true. You borrowed $1,000, but you paid it back. So you are believed to say paraiti. But if I have a milva b'shtar, I have a shtar, the Aiden in the milva b'alpeh, the Aiden know that I lent you $1,000. They don't know whether you paid it back or not. So if you taina paraiti, that in Chumash, that's called kofar hakol. Taisa shows where the pasuk is, not so explicit. Taisa b'av mitzir dav gimel shows where the pasuk is. Says in the pasuk, only if he's a meir b'mixas, then he has to swear. But if it's kofar hakol, then he's nemam b'lishvo. So if he tainis paraiti, he's naman on a milva b'alpeh. But if it's a milva b'shtar, the malva has a shtar. So the loyva is not believed to say paraiti because shtor chabiyadi, my boy. The malva says, what do you mean? If you already paid up the $1,000, you would have insisted on me surrendering to you the shtar before you give me the $1,000 payment. The fact that I'm still holding on to the shtar, the malva is still holding on to the shtar, is a clear raya that the loyva didn't pay the money back yet. So those are the two chilukim mentioned in the Mishnah, the difference between milva b'shtar and milva alpeh. So the Gemara says over here, what's the din of pidyon aben? Pidyon aben is not a milva b'shtar. The Kohen has a shtar that says that the avi aben owes him 5 shkolim. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So should we treat a din in Chumash, milva haksuva b'atar? The word milva here, in this context, doesn't necessarily mean a loan. It doesn't only go on haba, it means any chiyuv money. So if you have a milva haksuva b'atarif in the Chumash, it says you have to pay this money. That's a milva haksuva b'atarif. Pidyon aben, choyvon lamazik. This is all milva haksuva b'atarif. What Tosfos on the bottom Tosfos has, and the Tosfos appears, and if you want to misit this as well. What's milva sheinu ksuva b'atarif? Milva sheinu ksuva b'atar is a halvoa, a loan. But that also says in the Chumash. In the Chumash it says that if the loiva borrowed money from the malva, he has to pay back the money. That's also milva ksuva b'atar. So he says wrong. The term, the expression milva ksuva b'atar refers to a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes upon the person as opposed to a chiyuv mamon that the person accepts upon himself. Whenever you have his chayvus midas, I bought an automobile and I agreed to pay $50,000 for the automobile. That's milva sheinu ksuva b'atar. It means even if it is written in the Chumash, it didn't have to be written in the Chumash. I would have known on my own that you're mechuyev. You accepted the obligation. You bought candy in the store, you bought a newspaper, you bought a house, you bought some commodity, so you accepted upon yourself to pay the amount. So demei hamekach or a halvoy. You borrowed $1,000 on self understood, you have to pay back $1,000. And whenever there's a hischayvus midas, that's called milva sheinu ksuva b'atar. The person accepted the chiyuv on himself. And whenever the Torah imposes a chiyuv, l'chayv l'mazik, pidyon aben, oynes et mefatam, et shem, ksuba, even if you don't accept, even if the chasen doesn't give a ksuba to his kala, he's mechayv anyway to pay the ksuba if he divorces or if he dies first. Why? Because that's a takonas chachamim. The chachamim made a takonah. There were Tanaim who felt that Ksuba Deraisa, we don't accept that opinion. The Ruba Rishon don't accept that opinion. We hold that the Chiyuv Ksuba is only with the Rabban. It's a Chiyuv that the Chachamim imposed, not a Chiyuv Mamon that the person accepted upon himself. It's a Chiyuv Mamon that the Torah imposes and that the Chachamim imposed. So that's called Milva Ksuba Batar. What's the difference? Is there any difference, Halacha Maisa, between a Milva Ksuba Batar and Milva Sheinu Ksuba Batar? So there are several differences between them. So take, for example, one difference is when Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this, so the first thing he would mention would be in the Meiri and Bava Kama and Daf Ayin Amid Beis. He dug up a Meiri. The Meiri has like this. There is a din of Kom Lebe Derab Minei. If I'm smoking a cigar on Shabbos, that's a malacha for which you're Chayiv Nisa. Even if I'm doing it B'Shegik, so I'm not Chayiv Nisa. And at the same time that I'm smoking a cigar, I smash someone's window, so then you don't have to pay. Aserv Kedisha, Mishnah gives an example of Bava Kama. Aserv Kedisha Shal Chaver at the Shabbos. I burned down the next door neighbor's barn on Shabbos. So since burning down a barn is a malacha, Mavir, Havar is one of the Lamedes Malachas. So for Havar, you should have been Chayim Misa. There was no Hasra. This man is that nobody gets any Misa. But there's no Beis Hamikdash Kayim. There's no Sanhedrin, so there's no Din Nefoshes today. But in theory, in principle, there should have been a Chayim Misa. So that's the Din, since there's a Chayim Misa here, doesn't have to pay for the hezek that he caused. So the Meiri writes, what if the fellow smoking a cigar and he borrows $100,000 from the bank on Shabbos while he's smoking the cigar? Is he going to say on a halva that the leiva borrowed money, and at the same time that he borrows the money, he's smoking a cigar? He's going to say, come levi the rabbinei. So the Meiri interprets in the Gemara, and Baba Kama dafayin on the base, the Gemara says about Estam Zon, Estam Asata, Afila Baalima. So the Meiri interprets in that Gemara, whenever there's a hischaivus midas, the leiva borrowed the money and he agreed to pay. The lekech bought the house, or he bought the automobile and he agreed to pay $1 million for the house, or $50,000 for the automobile. Or I hire a worker and I make up with him how much I'm going to pay him a salary. So that's the case of Eskan Asadar Fil Balima. So if I agreed, it's in Chayv Das, I agreed to pay an amount of money, and I'm a Chal Shabbos, at the same time that the Chiv was Chal, so then the Miri says, that there's no Kam Levi the Rabbinah in such a case. Kam Levi the Rabbinah is based on the Psukim, V'onshu'osu k'dei v'shasa. So the Gemara has a drasha in Perek Elanaris, the third Perek in Ksubis. The Gemara has a drasha in that Pasuk, he can't make him pay for two chiyuvim. He only gets a punishment for one. So he only gets the misa and he doesn't have to pay the mamon. Or he says, malkus again. He only gets the malkus and he doesn't have to pay the mamon. That's kama levi the rabbinah. So that's only if the chiyuv mamon is imposed by the Torah. But if he borrows money from someone else, or he agrees to pay a worker for the job that they're doing, he committed himself to pay the worker, or he bought some merchandise, and he's Mechal Shabbos at the same time, you don't apply Kom Levi the Rabbinah to his Chayvus Midah. It only applies to the Chiyuv Mamon that the Torah imposes. I take, for example, there's another Nafka Mina Ledina. Someone is Masik, someone else, a Hezik Pachas Mishav Pruta. So the Torah never imposes a Chiyuv of Pachas Mishav Pruta. Well, let's say I buy a candy, they sell five candies for a penny, and I buy one candy. I'm going to pay a fifth of a penny. How exactly he's going to pay a fifth of a penny, he'll have to figure it out. I'll have to give him something that's worth a fifth of a penny. But his chayvus midas he can have on a pachas mishavu pruta. He bought merchandise, he borrowed money, less than a shavu pruta, he's going to pay back. There's another nafkamina that the Rambam has, and the Shach talks about it. The Rambam quotes in Tshuvas HaGoinim, in Hilchos Maal V'Loiva, the Rambam writes, Kotten Shalova. If a child before bar mitzvah smashes somebody's window or he steals something and he smashes it, so he's not chayv to pay for zeila, for chayvul, for mazik, a katan is a la baronshin. So the Torah never imposes punishments, penalties on a katan. Katan means a child before bar mitzvah. But if the child borrows money and he understands what he's doing, he understands. He's not an infant, 2 months old. He's 12 and a half years old, he understands what halva means. His chayus midas he can have, or the child goes into the store, he buys some candy. He's 12 years old, he understands what it means. You're buying candy, you have to pay the quarter or a dollar for the candy that you're buying. So then he's mechiv to pay. We can't bring him to a din Torah till after he'll become bar mitzvah, because he's a katan. But we can bring him to the din Torah after the Rambam writes, katan shalava mechiv l'shalom l'kishe yagadim. If the child before bar mitzvah borrowed money, then he's mechuyev to pay back the money after he'll become bar mitzvah, because she asked him. But that's not called, you don't say there, a katan zalah baronshin. Katan zalah baronshin, he doesn't have to pay chiyuv that the Torah imposes. The Torah doesn't impose chiyuvim on a katan. But this is not a chiyuv that the Torah imposed. The person accepted it upon himself. What is the mother nafkamin is between the two? There's another nafkamin in the beginning of Bava Kama. The Gemara says, Arba Avos Nezikin. Then there's one Braisa, there are 13 Avos Nezikin. One Braisa, there are 24 Avos Nezikin. The Gemara says, why do you call them all Avos? Some of them are not written in Chumash. Usually Avos are those that are written explicitly in Chumash and told us are those that are sufficiently similar to what's written in Chumash and has the same din. But some of the 24 rabbis in the Zikan are just chayim mid the rabbanon, hametamim, hametamim, ramanaser. So why do we call them ovis? You can't say because it's written in the Chumash. Mora says kulam ka'ovis, it's a nickname. Kulam ka'ovis l'shalem imeitav. It says in the Chumash in Parshas Mishpatim that when my shen v'regel, my behemah makes a hezek, ubir v'zdei acher, my behemah makes a hezek, not in the Rishus Rabbim. The Hebe makes a hezek in the Rishus Rabbim. They don't have to pay. Only Karen is chayv Rishus Rabbim. Hashem Regal is pot. So if my Behema enters someone else's Rishus, makes a hezek there, I'm a chayv to pay Hashem Regal. And it says in the Chumash, mate of Sadehu, mate of Karmo, Yishalei. The Gemara has in Babakam and Egitin, there are three, we divide all the real estate into three levels. There's the best quality, mate of Edis, best quality, then you have Beninus, intermediate value, and then you have Ziburis, poorer quality, ABC. So the din is all the 24 Ovis, the Zikin, Kulam Kavis, and Shalom Meitav. You pay Meitav from all the Tzegzer Rishav. But Halvoa, you don't pay Meitav. Nikar Adin is the Machlokes, Nigmar. We pass Nikar Adin, the Loivik can pay back the Malva with Ziburis. He borrowed $1,000, he has to give him $1,000 worth. If he's giving Edis, then he'll give a small field. If he gives Beninus, he has to give a little bigger field. If he gives Ziburis, he has to give a much bigger field, that it should be worth the $1,000 that he owes him. So the Gemara says, this din that you pay me Meitav only applies in the Ovis and Zikim, where it's a Chiyah Mamad that the Torah imposes. But it's a Chiyah Mamad that the person accepted upon himself, Mikra Din, the Loibi can pay with Ziburis. It's only Midirabbanon that they change the din. They have a right to change the din of din imamnes based on hefker bez nefker. So they change the din of the rabbanon. They said that the loyve cannot get away with that. He's going to borrow money from the malva, then he's going to stick him with ziburis like the din deraisa. So the malva will learn his lesson never to lend money to anybody, not to be so nice to people. I'll be a kind fellow, lend him $1,000, then he's going to stick me with ziburis. What am I going to do? I don't want ziburis. I don't want the junkies. It's worth $1,000. But it's not a good quality, so I'm going to have an asika. So midrabban, they change the din. They say you have to pay beninus. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, such a big zereshava. The Gemara says such a whopper of a zereshava that even though the pasuk Gamaytav only says by Shem Regel, it never appears with respect to the other nezikin. But all the 24 of us nezikin, those are deraisa, those are derabban, they all have to pay for Meitav. So they couldn't extend the zereshava to include Malva Loiva, that Halva should also be Meitav. Why does the Gemara assume Halacha L'maisa? We assume that the Loiva, Mikra, Adin, the Raisa can get away with paying Ziburis, and it's only with the Rabbanon that we jacked it up a little bit, that he has to pay Beinins. Why don't you say the Zereshava should include also a Loiva, that the Loiva has to pay Meitav? So that's what the Menchas Chinuch explained. No, the Zereshava only goes on the Ovis Nezikin, that's a Milbach Suva Batorah. The Torah imposes, when the Torah imposes a chiyuv, the Torah imposes to the maximum. You got to pay, and you got to pay meitav with the best quality karka. There are more differences also when we learned the first daf in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says the word Elohim lashon chol, Elohim lashon kodesh, referring to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, appears in the Chumash a lot of places. Elohim lashon chol, referring to a dayanim, a dayan on a bezin. That appears in Parshas Mishpatim a few times. So the Gemara says, because the name Dika Balabais Elu Elohim, Ashiyan Elohim, Mishalim Shlaim L'Reyehu, and it's the third time also. So the word Elohim appears three times Lashon Chol, and it means Dayanim Smuchim. So that's from the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi. When you add up the word Elohim, 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 three times, teaches that you need three Dayanim for the turn the moment. So the Gemara has a Machlokes. The Gemara says, we paskin only by Gzelus v'chavolus, by Milva Haksuva v'Torah, need a bezna of Shloshes Smuchim. There's a dintura about Hoidos v'Halvois, about a Halvois, that's a Hischaris Nidah. So, Demei HaMekach, someone bought furniture, someone bought books, someone bought clothing, and there's a dintura, faulty, it's a damaged article, and he wants his money back, and wants a partial refund. That's not Gzelus. That's malva, let's say malva olayve, those kind of things. That mehamekach, that's a hischayvus midah. So for that, the Gemara says you don't need shloshes smuchim min haTorah. And the deraisa chad nami kosher, one head yud can also be done the case. The only time the halacha says three times, Elohim, 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 you need a bez of shlosha smuchim, is by a milvak silabatur, by zelus lachavolis. When the Torah imposes the chiv, so the Torah says you need a bez of shlosha smuchim, the paskin on him, that the paskin on chumash applies to his case. There are more differences also. So the Gemara says, Pidyon Aben, is a chiv moment, the father of the baby didn't accept it upon himself. He's Jewish, okay. He's Jewish. But he didn't accept this chiv moment. The Torah imposes the chiv. Whenever your wife has a pet, a boy, so the Torah imposes the chiv, you have to pay Pidyon Aben. So that was a question the Gemara raises. Do you treat Milv HaKsuv Batar like a Milv Bishtar? And therefore, Milv Bishtar you can collect from the Lekuchas? Or do you say, no, Milv HaKsuv Batar, there is no Shtar. In fact, it would appear, many Rishonim seem told, you can't even write a Shtar. Usually, when do you write a Shtar? If I bought Karka from you, and you need my agreement, you need both parties have to agree. I lent you money, so then you write a shtar that the loiva owes money to the malveh and all nechosim ha-meshubit. Or if he buys merchandise, the malveh to his chayvus midas. When you buy merchandise, you commit yourself to pay the demei ha-mekach. Or if you borrow money, you commit yourself to pay. So whenever you committed yourself to pay, then that's called das ha-meschaibin. He can authorize the writing of a shtar. But on Mazik, Chayvul Mazik, it would appear from Matosis and Bava Kamma and Daf Ches that the Mazik can't write a shtar. This is to ascertain that I owe the Nizik $1,000 because I crashed into his car and the Hesik was worth $1,000. The Chi of Mazik, Chayvul Mazik, the Torah imposes. Whenever I accepted the obligation on myself, I'm the Das HaMizchai, I can authorize the writing of a shtar. If I didn't accept the obligation, the Torah imposes the chiyuv upon me. So it appears that Tosfos holds, some Rishonim say chiyuv is not so, the Mukhi Yosef, but Tosfos seems to hold, you have no ability to write a shtar over there. So Pidyon Aben is always going to be a milva bal peh. So there was a debate in the days of the Tanoim, should you treat, because the Torah, whenever the Torah imposes a chiyuv, so it imposes it to the maximum, then maybe we should say that the chiyav of the milvak silvatar pidyon aben in their life, and it's in the fatam, it's a shemra, maybe it's imposed to the maximum and it automatically has a shibud nechosim. So the Gemara says, we don't hold like that. We hold in halacha, we paskin, milvak silvatar lav kiksuva bishtar damir, it's a milvak peh. So what's taka the din of a milvak peh? So milvak peh, you can't collect from the lukuchas, that's the Mishnah in the end of Baba Basra. Mishnah mentions the two differences between Milva Balta and Milva Bishtar. The one difference that Milva Bishtar, you have the ability, the Malba has the right to collect from the Lekuches, if the Loiva sold the Karka. And the other Nafkamina is that the Loiva is not believed to say Paraiti because the Malba is still holding on to the Shtar. So Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, if it's true that you paid back the money, you would have demanded I should surrender the Shtar. You would have burnt the Shtar. You would have ripped up the Shtar. In fact, that the Malba is still holding on to it is an indication that the Leiva never paid him up the money. So that's what the Gemara is explaining over here. The Ben had twins. One was the Pchor and one was not. Ibai does know which one is which, but if it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, he's mechayv to do Pidyon Aben. He knows that they're both alive. If one of them will die before Yom Lamed Aleph, then the father won't be mechayv to pay Pidyon Aben. Because we don't know, maybe the Pchor died. If one of them will die after, even if both of them die after Yom Lamed Aleph, it's still mechayv to do Pidyon Aben. So he's just not sure whether he says Shachyanu or not. Because it's not so cheerful. He's making a Pidyon Aben on a dead baby. So that was the suffix where they say Shachyanu. So the Gemara gave this case. Twins were born, we don't know who's older, and then the father dies after Yom Lamed Aleph. So the father already became Mechayiv, and find the Shtab the Hanachosim of the father. And then, so the Shtab the Hanachosim, so the Yorshim should pay from the Hanachosim before they divide it up. Let's say they didn't. They didn't pay the Pidyon Aben before. They divided it up. So do you treat the Yorshim, the two sons, do you treat them like Lukuchas or like Yorshim? Why should you treat them like Lukuchas? They're Yorshim, they got to be Rusha, they're not Lukuchas. The Gemara says that has to do with the big Shas topic of Yesh Breira Ein Breira. Yesh Breira Ein Breira, that's a big thesis over here. Tosis discusses various cases of Breira. Here this Tosis, Amar Abbas, Yachim Shechalku. So the various cases of Breira Nimar. So one example is like this. A person buys wine late in the afternoon, on Friday afternoon, and he knows that the wine is not gemaiset. He bought the wine from a person who doesn't, who's not trustworthy. The wine is kosher. It's not the Yayin Nesach or anything. They're not handled by non-Jews. Kosher wine, but it's tevil. We know that the merchant was never mafresh tumas and maisis. I have no time now to be mafresh tumas maisis. Late in the afternoon, I have to run to shul. So I make a declaration now. After Havdolah Hamatzoi Shabbos, I'm going to pour 2% of the wine into one container, and that'll be the Truma Gedoyla. You give 2%. I'm going to give that to a kohen. Then I'm going to pour 10%. Into another container, and that'll be my solution, and give it to a Levi. Then I'm going to pour 10% of what's left after taking out the 10% for the Maisavishan. 10% of what's left is going to be a little less than 9%. I'm going to pour 9% in another container, and that'll be my Sashemi. Or if it's the third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, it'll be my Saran. So I say now on Erev Shabbos, the 2% that I will pour, I have no time to pour it now. I'm late for shul on Friday afternoon. And you can't be mafish chumas and maisis on Shabbos. That's a mishnah in the end of Beitzah. Hey, magvim chumas and maisis b'shabbos will be yom. Not allowed to. So he's mafish now, but he has no time to pour it. So he says, the 2% of droplets that I will pour in after I make havdolah matzoi Shabbos, I'm going to pour 2% into one container. Those droplets of wine, wherever they are now, should already become Truma Gedolah now. Which droplets they are will be in his barrel. It'll be ascertained after Havdolah when I'll pour it into the container. So I want that to become Truma Gedolah now. The 10% of wine that I'll pour into the second container, Amatzai Shabbos, those droplets of wine should become Isarishan right now. I don't know which droplets they are, but they should become Isarishan now. And the third, there's 9% that's left. 10% of what's left after taking out my solution, that'd be 9% of the whole, of all the pairs. So the 9% should be my Sasheni, my Sarani after that. So that's a machlokes HaTanaim and the Mishnah. What's the question? So the Gemara is, the Babli says, the Yishalmi never has this, interesting. The Yishalmi never has, but the Babli says many times that the machlokes, the issue among the Tanaim, big machlekes hatanaim, big sugyas, and an erevin, and a gittin, and other masechtas. What the yesh brera, ain't brera? Can you say huvra hadover lemafre? Is it possible to say you have a chalois truma on droplets of wine? The truma has to be chal on erev Shabbos, and nor that I should be allowed to drink the wine on Shabbos. If I'm not mafresh tumas amaisis on Shabbos, I'm only going to be chal after Shabbos. So I was drinking tevel on Shabbos. So you want to be mafresh the wine now on erev Shabbos? But you don't know which droplets of wine are going to be the truma, which are going to be the maaser rishon, which are going to turn out to be the maaser sheni or the maaser rani. So that's the machleket. You say yesh breira. You can have a chalois chal on droplets of wine, even though now we don't know which droplets they are. It will become a vura later, and then we're going to say huvra adova lamafreya. It's a gloy milsa lamafreya that these were the droplets of wine that became truma yesterday. So we paskin. It's a big machlokes in the Gemara. We pass him with respect to dinim deraisa ein breira, with respect to dinim derabanan yesh breira. So that's one example. The Gemara has a din derabanan. Gemara says an interesting case. I live in a city, and it's natoch atchum. There's another city to the right, Mizrach and Mairav. There's a city to the right, city to the left, but the city to the right and to the left is chutz l'tchum. And I heard a rumor that a chacham is going to come and give the shia, say the Beit Torah, either in the city to the right or the city to the left. I won't find out which it is until the middle of Shabbos. I won't find out what it is. The chacham won't make up his mind till the middle of Shabbos. So in order for me, I live in the city in the middle. in order for me to be able to go to the city, to the Mizrach, to the city, to the Ma'ariv, I can't go on my own. I have to have an Eruv Itchum, because both of the cities are Chutz L'Tchum. So I make two Eruv Itchumens, and I say, if it'll turn out that the Chacham decided to come to the city, the Mizrach, to the Mizrach of my city, Eruv L'Mizrach. I want my Eruv Itchum to be in the east. I'll be able to go Alpay Mama to the Eruv Itchum, and to go another Alpay Mama to the city. And if I find that on Shabbos that the Chacham decided to come to the city, to the west of my city, so in Yav Chacham Lamarav, Eruv Lamarav, all my Eruv to go to the left. Where, Tosis raised the question, where in the world does the Chacham, where is the Chacham located on Erev Shabbos, that he has the ability to decide in the middle of Shabbos whether he wants to go to the right or to the left? I can't go to the right or to the left. Both cities to the right or to the left are Chutz L'Tchum for me. So how is it possible that the Chacham is going to, the Chacham is Toch HaTchum, both to the east and to the west, where exactly does the Chacham live? So that's what Tosis gives, difficult diagrams. They try to work out, how is it possible? How is such a case possible? But apparently they worked it out. They figured it out. So the fellow is making two Eruv Itchumens, and he wants the Eruv Itchumen is only valid if you kind of shvisa on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashes. But Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashes, you don't know which one is going to be chal, whether the one to the right or the one to the left. So then you rely, we pass Kentchumen is only the Rabbanon. So that's the question. Maybe we should say, since it's only a din the Rabbanon, Yesh Breira. What does it have to do with Breira? Eruv Itchumen is only meaningful, it's only valid, it's only helpful that I can go Alpay Mama to the place where I left the Eruv Itchumen, doesn't go another Alpay Mama past it. It's only valid if it's kind of Shvisa Bein HaShemash. Bein HaShemash wasn't yet established which direction the Chacham is going to go. He's going to decide in the middle of Shabbos. So that's the Machlokes HaTanaim. They have the right to say, Aneda Chalois Eruv Itchumen Anodobe She'ena Mevurah. I don't know whether the Eruv Yitchumen to the right or to the left is Chal. I'll find out on Shabbos which one was really Chal. So that's a Shaila of Yesh Breir Ebed Rabban. What did he say, Yesh Breir Ebed Rabban? What another case, this famous case of the Mishnah in Gittin. A man is married to two wives, and it's very expensive. He has to buy clothing for the both wives, and it's too much. He can't afford two wives. So he realized he has to divorce one of the two wives, that both wives have exactly the same name. Rachel Bas Eliyahu. So he tells the sefer, write again, I'm going to have to divorce one of my two wives. I can't afford to take care of both wives. So Ksov get the Ishti Le'eza Sheretza Agarshena. I'll decide within the course of a week which wife I want to divorce. And both wives have the same name, Rachel Bas Eliyahu. So at the time that the sefer writes again, he has to write it Lishmo. At the time he's writing in the Shmo, it's not yet Mavura. The husband didn't decide yet which of the two wives he's going to divorce. So that's an issue of Ein Breir. The Mishnah gives that example. That's an example of Ein Breir. The Gemara has more cases like that. So these are all the cases that I said so far. This is next to this distinct. All those cases are a topic of Reish Breir, Ein Breir, where the fellow made a Tanai. If you make a Tanai, let's say, if it snows tomorrow, so Pashup Shat, that's a Tanai. If it snows, the Kedushin will be Chal, but doesn't have Kedushin, is not Chal. There's not a problem of Breira. We'll say, Huvra Dova L'Mafreya. If it snows tomorrow, it'll be Gloin Milsa L'Mafreya that the Kedushin was Chal today. That's a regular din of Tanai. But over here, you're getting a Chal. Everything is clear over there. If it snows tomorrow, the Kedushin will be Chal, or the Get will be Chal, whatever he gave Allah Tanai. Amanas that it's not. He was talking, he made two Eruv Itchumens. He made a get, Ezusheretz Agar Shena. He didn't decide yet which of the two wives. He didn't decide yet the nature of the Lishma. So that's a special problem of Breir. A Tanai is good, but a Breir, we pass him, did him the right same Breir. So all these cases that we gave so far, he writes a get, either for this wife or for that wife, the nature of the Chalos is Ene Mavura. Not that it's yes or no. If the options are either will be chal or won't be chal, that's Tanai. I said, Riyam Kodesh is if it snows tomorrow. So if it snows, it's yes. If it doesn't snow, it's no. Here was not a question, yes or no. Here it's a question, yes or yes. Is the get going to be lishma for this wife or for that wife? Are these drops going to be truma? Are the other drops, droplets of wine are going to be truma? So that's an issue of Breira. So then Tosis points out, but there's another kind of Breira where you didn't make any Tanai at all. So take for example, a man dies and all of his assets go birusha to his child. He has one child. If you have chad b'chad ad Yeshua ben Nun, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they made chalukah sa'aretz, made chalukah l'shvatim, chalukah l'mishpachas, then chalukah l'yechidim. So this person got this man, got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So then he does, he has one child. That child does, he has one child. That child does, he has one child. So if you have chad b'chad ad Yeshua ben Nun, one child after one child, no one has to split any Yerusha. So that's for sure, that's Yerusha. That's called stay achuza. As the dinim of Ste'achuzah. The Shaila is, what if there are two Yerushim, two brothers? The father died and there are two brothers, and so they have to split it among themselves. So, when you don't have Chad Bachad, you have two children or more, and have to divide it. So, at the time that the father died, if there's one child, so that's the din of Yerusha. Yerusha sets in, the Morish dies, so the Yerush gets all the Nechasim. And there's no need to make a Ma'is Tvikinyan. There's no need for Das Kinyan. In fact, the Yorish is kind of even Bal Korchai. Usually, no one is kind of anything Bal Korchai, but Yerusha is Chal Bal Korchai. Because Bro Karadavua, Yerusha is a Hemshech of the original Bailus. The Bailus continues. Whenever I give over ownership, I sell property to somebody else, or I give them a Matana, so the Bailus of the Marakama terminates, and the Bailus of the Marakama Basra begins now. The new person has an ownership. When I die, and my Yerushim get the Nachla, and they die, and their Yerushim get the Nachla, it's not that my Kinyan is Puk, but now the Yerushim get a new Bailus. That's what the Gemara says, Barakar Tavua, Rushis Yerush has Lav Kedistik. When I was alive, it transfers over to the children. So Yerush is different. So the Shaila is, but if there are two children, so the two children now own the asset that's called Tfusas Habayis. It belongs to the estate. But then they make a chaluka. The two brothers make a chaluka. He takes half. So how did that happen? You say, Huvra Hadavra. Nobody made any tonight here. You say, Huvra Hadavra Lamafreya, that at the time that the wealthy father died, we didn't know which son is going to take. Let's say the father has hotels all over America. So one child is going to get $100 million worth of hotels. The other child is going to get $100 million worth of hotels. We didn't decide who's going to get what. So after we finally work it out, and we decide, Reuben is going to get $100 million of hotels, these hotels, and Shimon is going to get $100 million. After we decide. So do we say, Mikanal Habo, the hotels that Reuben gets don't belong to Shimon, hotels that Shimon gets don't belong to Reuben. How did that happen? Originally, all the hotels belonged to the father. The father died, so went into Tfusas Habayis, the estate. So the two brothers own everything. But then, after they make the Chaluka, this brother owns everything that he has, and his other brothers, other Shutas, and the other brother owns everything that he has, his $50 million worth, and his $50 million worth, $100 million worth of hotels they divided. So each one owns his with Anani Shutvis. So how did that happen? Did he say, Yesh Breira, that at the moment of death of the wealthy father, what happened immediately was that the Yerusha goes from the father, one owner, to Tfusas Habayis. It's a fancy Shutvis. A fancy shutta tfus habayis, the estate is owned by all of the Yerushim together. But then when they make a chalukah, do we say that too is included in the kinyanim that were chal men ha-Torah at the time of Mises HaMorish, when the rich father died? So what happened immediately was all the assets belonged to tfus habayis. And then what happens a year or two later when they make a chalukah, or 20 years later, and after 20 years they b'shut tfus the two brothers, then they split up. So at that time, do we say that the Misa Sa'av caused that I should own these $50 million worth of hotels, you should own the other $50 million? But he's saying, no, you have to have my Das Machten and your Das Machten. You don't have to make any Kinyonim. You have to make any Kinyonim to make the Chalukah. But you need Das Machten. So they say, Ha'achim Shiyorshu, if a person dies and he does not have Chad Bachar Ad Yeshua Binun, not that he has one son and that one son has one son. No, he has many children. Each one of the children has many children. So when they divide the estate, do you need a Das Makne because originally everything belonged to all of the Yerushim, Tfusas Abayis. Now, each one is makna to the other one, his share in the other one's hotels, and you go makna to me with a das makna, your share in my hotels. So these say, ha'achim shecholku, are like lekuchas, because each one had to express a das makna, to be makna away, his share in the other one's chelik. But he say, no, yesh breira. There was no hisno over here. When the rich father died, he didn't make any tanai, and the Yerushim didn't, it's not shaykh to make any tanai. But still, the Gemara puts it together with the topic of yesh breira ein breira. So Tosis points out in a few places, there's room to distinguish between the two. You can say, when hisnu, I stipulate it in advance. I can say, that's the din of tanai. If I make a tanai harem, if it snows tomorrow, I'll say it's a kloy muslim afreya, the kedushim was chal today. The same thing I'll say, whichever droplets of wine I'll pour out after Havdolah, Mitzvah Shabbat, to the first container, it'll be in his bar then. I want those droplets of wine to become truma right now. So there's room to say that by hisnu, it's a din of tanai. And the yesh breira, because that's part of the din of tanai. If lo hisnu, the father died, and the children make a chalukah, so maybe by law, no one made on any tanai in advance. Maybe by law hisnu, you can say that ain't bear, but by hisnu, there's more room to argue the point to say that the yesh breir. So that's what Tosafot points out, that different kinds of breir, different cases, and there's room to split yipsak. There's room to say, the Tosafot shows that there are tanaim and amaraim who have a split yipsak. They don't say in all cases the same. Yesh breira, in all cases, ain't breira. Maybe hisnu is yesh breira, and like hisnu is ain't breira. So now there's another clown, a lot of hakdamas here. Now there's another clown. Hamotzi machaber olav harayah, we said by pidyon haben. If there's any slight suffix, you really don't have to pay. Hamotzi machaber olav harayah. Is there ever a din mamon amuta b'safik cholkim? So that's a machloke sumchas and a chachamim. Sumchas hold you say mamon amuta b'safik cholkim in certain cases, and the chachamim disagree. There are different cases. Sometimes a chachamim would agree with sumchas, sometimes not. You have to figure out all the cases. The Tosis says, even though the din should be hamotzi machaber olav harayah, but sometimes a chachamim made a takana that you should split the money. Sometimes they say yachloiku. When there's a suffering mummy, you don't always, minatari, you say, amotzim chevel of harai. Sometimes, mid the rabbanim, you say, yachloku, as a takana de rabbanim. And then Tosafot says, the Gemara quotes over here, ha'achim shecholku, the man died and he had $100 million worth of hotels. And the children made a chalukah. So do we treat the hotels, do we treat the children now who own the hotels? Do we treat them as lekuchas? Because they had to express a das makna. I had to express a das makna to you, that all the hotels that you're going to get should only belong to you. You had to express a das makna to me. All the $50 million worth of hotels that I'm going to get, you're makna to me, your ownership, it should only belong to me. So do you treat Achmi Shecholko like lekuchas? And then you can only collect if it's a mullah d'shtar. Can't collect a mullah balpeh. Or should you say no, Achmi Shecholko? Ayorshim. So the Gemara says this should really depend on the machloikas, but the yesh breira ain't breira. At the time of the death of the father, that's when the din of Yerusha sets in. At the time of death, they didn't yet decide who's going to get which $50 million worth of hotel. That's only decided later. So do you have the right to say it's a loyal milson of my friend? It was loy hisnu. Nobody made a tanai over here. The men who died didn't make any tanai, and the Yerushim didn't make any tanai either. But the question is, the death of the rich father, the death of the Uncle Sam, the rich uncle who died, so the death is what triggers the din of Yerusha. So it can only trigger the din of Yerusha of Tfusas Abayis. The assets now belong to all of the children, the Shutfis, the two brothers, the Shutfis. They say it even triggers the Chalukah from later. If and when we're going to make a Chalukah, so the half that I'm going to get will belong to me only, the half you're going to get belongs to, and you don't need my das makne to give you full ownership, but you don't need your das makne to give me full ownership of the half that I'm going to get. So the Gemara says that depends on yesh breira, ain't breira. So how do we pass on halacha the ma'aseh? So the Gemara quote, the Torah says sometimes the din should really be amotza mechaber alav arayv. When you have a sofik ma'amayni, you say muchzak should win. And over here they made a takana, sometimes they made a takana should be achloiku. Here they made a takana, ha'achim shecholku, if there are two, more than one brother, dividing up a Yerushan. It's not chad b'chad ad yishu b'nun. It's not that every generation, the person only had one child, next one only had one child. There's no shala breira then. We're talking, there's more than one child. So it's an isha breira. So they made a takana de rabbanon, ha'achim shecholku, machta Yorshim or Machzor Lekuchas. Half of the each one got, let's say, $50 million worth of hotels. So $25 million of his hotels are considered like, he's considered like a Lekeach. Because they ain't brave, so you had to have Das Makne. Each one had to express a Das Makne to be Makne, his share in the other one's Chelek. And Machzor Yorshim, we treat them half like Yorshim. What's the difference for the Yorsh or Lekeach? So the Gemara says, the difference is milva al peh. The Mishnah says milva al peh cannot, if you don't have, the malva doesn't have a shtar havua. He just lent the money. There are witnesses who testified that he lent the money to the loiva. So milva al peh is only government ha-yorshim, then a government ha-lekuchas. To collect from the lekuchas, it has to be on milva v'shtar. Why? Because we explained before, a milva al peh is leis lekola. And it's going to be a big pseud of the Lekuchas. The Lekuchas didn't know to be careful. And they'll know next time not to go into real estate. So you're going to destroy the whole real estate industry. No one's going to want to buy any karka because they may lose their pants over here. There may be a lien, maybe a shiv and a chosim on the karka that they won't know about. So this is only a concern by Lekuchas. There's a concern pseud of the Lekuchas. Lekuchas paid money for the real estate. That's going to be taken away by the malva, the one who lent money to the loiva, who sold them the karka, so it's going to be upset that lekuchas going to ruin the whole real estate industry. But if you say the milval peh will collect from yorshim, that's fair. There's nothing unfair about that. Their father owed the money. It's not fair that they should get the yerusha from the father. The father borrowed money from the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then he bought real estate, and then he doesn't pay back his chayvis, so that's not fair. So fear is really you should take away from the Yorshim. So that's the din milva al peh is government of Yorshim. You don't have to worry about pseudo the Lekuchas. The Lekuchas are not paying money. The Yorshim got it for nothing over here. So that's what we pass. Milva al peh is government of Yorshim. Then it goes in ha Lekuchas. It's a big question though. Why is milva al peh government of Yorshim? The Yorshim never borrowed the money. The father borrowed the money. Father has the shibir aguf. The true you say milva b'shtar, there's a shiv nechassim. He write in the shtar, kol nechassim shibadim l'chayv zeh. He's meshabed all the karkos. A milva al peh, we usually, there is no shtar, so there's no shiv nechassim. So why does the malva have the right to take away from the yorshim and a milva al peh if there's no shiv nechassim? The yorshim didn't borrow the money. So why does he have a right to collect? So that's a big dispute in choshem mishpat. The mechaber has one line in the Mechaber Hilchos Malva V'Loiva, he quotes the fundamental Machloikas HaGainim. How do you understand this din? How do you understand the din that Milva Peh you can collect from the Yorshim? Is it because there's no need for a Shiv Nechosim to collect from the Yorshim? We only need a Shiv Nechosim to be able to collect from the Lekuchas. But to collect from the Yorshim, it's if there's a Shiv Raguf. You don't need a Shiv Nechosim. Or do you say, no, you do need a Shiv. The Yorshim don't have a Shiv Raguf. They didn't borrow the money. The father borrowed the money. So maybe even to collect from Yorshim also, you need a Shiv Nechosim. But vis-a-vis the Yorshim, we say, even in Milva Peh, there is a Shiv Nechosim. Vis-a-vis Lekuchas, in Milva Peh, there's no Shiv Nechosim. Vis-a-vis Yorshim, we say, there is. The Maynaf Kemina, so in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber has a Machloikas HaGoinim, the Goinim who came before the days of Rashi and Tesis, before the Rishonim. So there's a machlokes hagainim. What if the loiva borrows money from the malva and he gives him a shtar and he writes kol nechassim mishubadim lechayv leh, but he didn't write the ekni. He didn't write I'm mishabed the nechassim. See, when we get married, so it says in everybody's ksuba we are mishabed all of the nechassim dikanoi that I already own, that I possess already. Udasir on all the mikta. And the karkos that I will buy in the future. That's called Shiba de Ekni. You're Mishabed a Dovish la Bodayom. You're Mishabed a Nechasim that you didn't even buy yet. You don't even have it. Strictly speaking, that should be illegitimate. How can you make a Kenyan out of Dovish la Bodayom? How can it be a Mishabed Karka that you didn't buy yet? So the Rishonim break their heads. And the bottom line, the Ksay says, the answer is that it's only a Takana de Rabban. On the level of the Raisa, there's no way to explain how you have the ability to place a lien on the karkois that don't belong to you yet. Like Eidon Amakna Dovish, when you make a Shib Nechasim, the Rishonim say, and the Nesim, the Ritvan Kiddushin has it, and the Nesim is right, it's a Kinya Lachatzoyim. You're giving the Malve a partial Kinyan in the property. The Loive is giving the Malve a Kinya Lachatzoyim on his karkois. The karka of the Loive belongs to the Malve with respect to Gviya Sachayv. It's a Kinya Lachatzoyim. But how can it be Machem a Kinya Lachatzoyim on the karkois that he didn't buy yet? So that's what the Ktzai says. The answer is that it's only a Takana de Rabban. On the level of the Rashi, there's no way to make a Shibud on a Dovashal Boliyadim. So the question is, a person borrowed money, a loiva borrowed money, and he gives a shtar, and he didn't write the shtar, dikanoi udosan on the limit, and he didn't write on the Shabbat and the Chosman that I'm going to buy in the future. So then the din is in Shulchan Aruch, then there's no Shibud Nechosim on the karka that he didn't buy, that he didn't have yet, the karka that he buys later. So would the Malva have the ability to collect that from the assignment? So if collecting from his assignment is based on Shibud Nechosim, but they don't have any Shibud Aguf, they didn't borrow the money, their father borrowed the money. So you can only collect from the Yorshim based on Shibud Nechosim. The Yisraim don't owe, they don't have a Shibud Aguf. There's no Shibud Nechosim, you can't collect. Except we say, even in Milval Peh, there is a Shibud Nechosim, these are the Yorshim, these are the Lekuchas, not, these are the Yorshim there is. But if you didn't write the Kanoi Dosar on the Mikveh, you didn't write the Ferish at the Meshabed, the Karkos that the Loive didn't write down in the Shtar, then you won't be able to collect from the Yorshim. You can only collect from Yorshim if there's Shibud Nechosim. And the other Goyim held not so. You can collect from Yorshim based on Shibud Aguf. He said, Mitzvah Leisayim, Ferechai Besavim, means you have a right to collect from the Yorshim, even if there's no Shibud Nechosim at all, even if it's the Ekni, and you didn't write the Ekni in the Shtar. So there is no Shibud Nechosim and the Nechosim that you're going to buy later. Still, you always have a right to collect from Yorshim. So there's a major machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, and it's going to shed light on how you read a lot of Gemaras about collecting from the Yisrael. So that's what the Gemara discusses here, just to review again. What was the case again? A couple had twins, and it was dark in the room, and we don't know which one was born first. And the father never did the Pidyon Aden. It came the Yom Lamed Aleph, and the father didn't do the Pidyon Aden. So the father was ready in the Schaiv on the Yom Lamed Aleph. And the Shtab Dahan Chasim, if the father doesn't want to pay, we'll take away his, we'll confiscate his property and pay the money to the Kohen to pay the Pidyon Aden. So what happened was, father died after Yom Lamed Aleph, the Shtab Dahan Chasim. And then the Yorshim, the two sons, divided the Yerusha, the two. Each one is a Safi Bchor, Safi Pashut. So they divided the Yerusha among themselves. So now the Shaila is, does the Kohen have the right to take away the Karka from the children? Based on the Shibud Nechosim, if the father died within the Lamed Yom, and the father was never Nishtabed, and the children, when they become Bar Mitzvah, whichever one of them is the Bchor will become a Chuyiv, and you don't know who's the Bchor. So you have no right to take away, not from this son, not from the other son. You have no right to take away the Nechosim that's on the Shutvas by both of them either, because taking away the Nechosim is like an Orediv, like a cosigner. So you can't collect from the Loive, you can't collect from the twin children, as each one says, maybe I'm not the Bchor. You have the right to take away the karka, even though the karka is on the shutzah by the two brothers. So the kohen should have the right to take it away, even because he's collecting pidyon aden from this one or for the other one. So we don't say that, limanoshach. Rava rejected that. That's wrong. But the shaila is, the father died after Yom Lamed Aleph, and the shtab dohan chasid. But then the children made a chalukim. So when ha'achim shechalku, we have a parkonim midrabbanan, we make a pshara. We treat half of the assets let's say they had $100 million worth of hotels, that's the marshal he gave before. So Reuben and Shimon, the two children, one man gets $50 million worth of hotels, one gets $50 million, the other $50 million worth of hotels. So from the $50 million, we're going to treat half of it as Lekuchas, half of it as Yorshim. My nafkamina, because Pidyon HaBen is Milval Peh. The Peh is Goethe, because my wife Pidyon HaBen called Milval Peh, because Milval Ksuv HaTorah, Lavkiksuv HaDishtar Damne. That was an issue in the days of the Tanaim. Now, Lachal HaMaisa, we pass from Milval Ksuv HaTorah, Lavkiksuv HaDishtar Damne. It doesn't have the din of a Milval Dishtar. So you can only collect from Yorshim, you cannot collect from the Lekuchas. And Achim Shecholku, so we say the $50 million of assets that each one got is Palgam Milva Palka. We say that half of it is treated like Yorshim. $25 million of the hotels belongs to this son as if he's a Lekech, because the other brother had to be Makna, had to express a Das Makna. They give him full ownership of all the hotels he's going to get. And the other half of the hotel, we made up Shara, whether Yesh Brera, Ein Brera, made up Shara, we said it's half Lekuchas and half Yorshim. So the half, from the half Yorshim money, you can collect the Pidyon HaBen money. The half Lekuchas he can, because Milva Ksuv HaTorah Lav Kiksuv HaBishtar Dam, yeah? So the Pidyon HaBen Choyv is a Milva Al Peh. So you can only collect from Yorshim, you can't collect from the Lekuchas. So the Gemara explains, so if each one gets $50 million worth of hotels, and the Palga Yorshim is going to be $25 million, going to be a Lekuchas. It can't collect. Pidyon HaBen can't collect from the Lekuchas. But from the $25 million of Yorshim, you can't collect from Yorshim Milval Peh. So the Kohen has the right to collect. He's not asking for millions, just wants five sloim. So the two children divided 50-50. So he has a right to take away 2.5 shkolem worth of the Pidyon HaBen is five sloim, five shkolem, has a right to collect 2.5 sloim from one son, 2.5 sloim from the other son. So that there wouldn't be a machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. When are they disagreeing? So the Gemara says, there's very little Yerusha. There's very little Yerusha. And if you're going to say he has the right to collect half the amount from this brother, half the amount from that brother, can only collect from the Palga Yorshim, from the half of the Yerusha that we say is Kelukuchas, the coin can't collect because the Pidyon HaBen is Milva Peh, you can't collect from Lekuchas. So if one is going to collect half from one brother, half from another, there's going to be less than five sloim, sach hakol, the Yerusha is peanuts, there's hardly anything there. The half he's going to collect from him is not going to add up the five sloim. There isn't five sloim worth. That's the Gemara suggested. That's the machlokes Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and the Mishnah. When the Torah says that you have to give Pidyon HaBen five sloim, do you say it's five sloim or nothing? Or do you say, no, you have to give whatever you have. Let's say the father had a baby, has a poor peterechem, and he has to give Pidyon HaBen. He doesn't have five sloim. He can't afford five sloim. He's broke. So do you say, so give one seller, and you'll see if you can pay the rest later. But he said, no, you give one seller. You can't say a bracha now. The bracha is only when you fulfill the mitzvah b'shleim Musa, and you give all the five sloim. So maybe there's nothing accomplished at all if you give chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. You have to give the full Pidyon HaBen. If you only give part of the money, you're not yotzei anything. So the Gemara suggested, maybe that is the machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah. The Reb Meir says, if the children didn't give the Pidyon HaBen money before they divided up the Chalukah and the Yerusha, then you don't take anything from either brother, because together the Palga Yorshim is not going to, the half and a half of the Yerusha is not going to add up to five sloim. The whole Yerusha was less than 10 sloim. So the half that's Lekuchas you don't collect, because it's Milva Ksuv HaTorah, it's like Milva Bal Peh, it's not a Milva Dishtar. Can't collect from the Lekuchas. You only collect from the Palga that's Yorshim. The Palga Yorshim is less than five sloim. And Reb Yehuda disagrees. That's how the Gemara suggests. That's the machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Whether Pidyon HaBen doesn't make sense, they have a partial kiyama mitzvah by giving less than five sloim. That was the Gemara's suggestion. Wow, what an interpretation. Wow, they're interpreting a lot. So the Gemara says that would have been a nice shot, but there's an Amud Beis, the Gemara says, but there's a brisa that contradicts. The Gemara says on the fifth line, Yehuda Sobar is is it true? Rabbi Yehuda thinks chomesh. Afilo chatzi chomesh. You have to give five sloim. Even if you don't have five sloim to give, whatever you can, and there's a partial kima mitzvah, and you'll pay out the rest if you have a chance to. And if you die before you gave the full five sloim, so you fulfilled the mitzvah partially. Don't say a bracha, because the meitanat you never give the rest. The Gemara said, but there's a deferish of Brisa that says not so. It says, Rabbi Yehuda says, if the full total of money that you're going to get by taking half from one brother, half from the other, is not going to add up to five sloim, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to give anything. So Rabbi Yehuda says, chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. We suggested before that that was my place on Meir Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir holds like that, chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. Rabbi Yehuda holds, chamish v'afilo chatzi chamish. You do collect from the ocean. But there's a brisa that says not so. So the Gemara touches up the pshat. They say, we made a mistake. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, they both hold chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. You don't have to give, either you give the full five sloim or you give nothing. You don't accomplish anything by giving partial payment. It's either all or nothing. So what is the machlokes on Meir Rabbi Yehuda? Gemara says, maybe the machlokes is on one of the other issues. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in the case of where Rabbi Meir says you don't have to pay, I still say you have to pay. What is he fighting about? So the Gemara said they both hold the same. The chamish v'lo chatzi chamish. Maybe they're fighting on the one issue, maybe they're fighting the other. Maybe they're fighting whether milvak silva ter kiksuva bishtar damya or not. So Rabbi Yehuda says it is kikshtar damya. So you can even collect pidyanat ben money from the half of the Yerusha that's treated as lakuchas. Or maybe the machlekes says maybe they both agree. Milvak silva ter is lav kiksuva bishtar damya. And the machlekes says whether you hold like Ravasi that Achim Shulchoku is Machza Lukuchas and Machza Yoshim. So the Gemara says it's unclear, but they're fighting about one of these three principles. In order to come up with this fantastic shot, the Gemara had to discuss these three issues. Number one, whether Pidyonat Ben is Milvak Silvatar, does it have this status like Milvad Ishtar? Whenever the Torah imposes the Chiv, the Torah imposes it to the maximum. So you should have sheep in the chasim. You can even have the right shidin out there to collect from lakuches. Oh no, milvak zibatar v'lafkik zibat bishtar dam. You only have right to collect from the ocean, not from the lakuches. The second issue is there such, does it make sense to pay chamesh, afilu chatzi chamesh, or no? Either you pay all the five or nothing. That's the second issue. And the third issue is, do you really accept what Ravasi said? Ravasi says, Achim Shechopa, because there's a machlokes with the Eshbreira and Breira, so we make a takanas chachamim to treat it as if half of the assets that each one of the brothers got, as if half of it was Birusha and half of it was Bemekah. So there's a machlokes on Meir Rabbi, either on premise A, B, or C, one of the three premises. The Gemara didn't want it, the Gemara said you can't accept that idea that we said originally, that the machlokes is where the chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh, because it seems that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda both agree on that. Chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. Sounds like they both agree to that. Chamesh v'lo chatzi chamesh. So what issue are they fighting about? Either they're fighting about the issue of whether milvak silvator is dina ki milvak peh or not, or they're fighting about Ravasi's issue that he claims the chacham made a takana. They made a compromise where they say Yesh Breira Ein Breira in Achim Shechalku. So they made a takana that half of the assets that they divided, half the assets each one got, half is like Lukuchas and half is like Yisayim. Wow. That's all Nezikin. This is all based on many Gemaras and Nezikin. Then the Gemara continues, the next Mishnah, as another example of a case where there's a suffix, and we don't, again, the Mishnah repeats again, you don't say suffix deraisa lechumra. Whenever there's a suffix pidyon ben, you have to give the money and not say a bracha. Suffix bracha is lacha, but suffix mitzvah says it deraisa lechumra. No. Whenever there's a suffix, is treat a suffix pidyon ben, like a suffix mamayna. Amaitzim achavir alaparai. There's even a big machlekes in Rishonim where the Maitzi Mamon with a Sveksveka. They say even in a Sveksveka, it can't be Maitzi Mamon. Oh no, maybe Sveksveka is stronger. Maybe it can be Maitzi. So Tosis in the first Perek and Subas Sometimes you can be Motzi Mamon based on a Sfek Sfeker. It's highly questionable. Pashtus is that you can. So the Mishnah is going to give more examples of cases where you have a Sofer. So the Gemara has a case, two couples had a baby boy. Each couple had a baby boy, a pet terechem. Each father is mechuyev to do pinya ben, but they mixed up the baby, so we don't know which child really belongs to which family. But it doesn't matter which, both babies are alive on the Yom Lamed Aleph, so both of the fathers have to give pinya ben money. What happens if one of the babies dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph? So then neither father is believed to give pinya ben, because Amerz Mechel of Harai. You don't know whether his baby died and the other one is Bukhayev and pinya ben, his Bukhayev is alive, or this one's baby died. So you don't know, so neither has to pay. So the Mishnah has, what if both of the fathers gave the pinya ben money before the Yom Lamed Aleph? You're not supposed to do that, because you can't say a bracha. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you cannot say a bracha if you give the pinya ben money before the Yom Lamed Aleph. They give the money to the Kohen, and he still has the money when it comes Yom Lamed, still has the money, so then you yotze the mitzvah then. So that's what they discuss in Shulchan Aruch. What if the young, babies are born every day of the week. So if the babies are born on a Thursday, then the Pidyon HaBen is going to be on Shabbos. And we have a meaning, we don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. It's a question, is it really a din? So I think the first one who wrote about this was the Trumas HaDeshen. It's a tell, how come it doesn't appear in the Rishayim? It should be way before the days Trumas HaDeshen, from the early Achrayim. So that's a question why. But it seems to be just a chumra. Mika HaDin should really be muta, strictly speaking, should really be permissible to do the Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. You don't have to do pidyon ben by giving cash. The money is muktzah. You don't have to give cash. Give a set of svarim, get something. The Gemara says in Beitza that the klal is, are you permitted to give matnas kahuna on Shabbos and Yontav? So the Gemara says, let's say, ashech the behema on Yontav. On Shabbos, you never shecht any behemas. On Yontav, there's a heterech on nefesh. Today, we're not in the practice of shechting a behema and eating it right away the same day. Everybody, even if the husband, let's say there's a couple, the husband is a sheikhet, he shechts for empire. But when his wife wants to cook chicken for Shabbos, he doesn't shecht the chicken that day. She takes a chicken from the freezer that's already been in the freezer for half a year. So we don't have the practice today that you shecht the behemoth today and you eat it today. So that's why we're not allowed to shecht behemoth on Yom Tov today. We're only allowed to do a malacha, the tzarech ochel nefesh, if it's a normal malacha that's usually done immediately before the meal. That's why, let's say, on Yom Tov, you want to serve fresh fruits, you're going to pluck the fruits off of the tree. So you're not allowed to, because you don't pluck the fruits off the tree half an hour before you're about to eat the meal. You pluck it off, you have a whole bowl of fruits in the kitchen, in the refrigerator, and then you serve it when you're giving the meals. But it's not, you cook the food right before that. It should be warm, that it should be hot. You reheat that soup. Maybe you have the soup in the refrigerator. You reheat the soup when you serve it. So those malochas that are normally done before the meal, that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. But in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any refrigeration, so the practice was they would shecht the chicken, shecht the behema on Yom Tov, because the practice was they would shecht right before they're about to eat it. So the din is when you shecht the behema, you become mechuyev to give zvala chayayim v'hakeva. There are 24 matnas kahuna, the Gemara says, really more than 24, but somehow the Tanoim combined a few together, and they said there are chav talad matnas kahuna. So one of the matnas kahuna is zvala chayayim v'hakeva. So if you shechted the behema on Yom Tov, then you're permitted to give this zvala chayayim v'hakeva to the kohanim on Yom Tov. You became mechuyev to give this matana. Let's say on Shabbos you can't bake any cakes. There's no heterech on nefesh. On Yom Tov you're allowed to bake. So let's say you bake the cake, or you bake matzahs, or you bake challahs on Yom Tov, echal nefesh, and then you have to be mafrish challah. So you're allowed to give the challah to the kohanim. You're permitted to be mafrish the challah on Yom Tov. You're permitted to give it to the kohanim on Yom Tov. Because the chiyuv to be mafresh chala and to give it was chala on Yom Tov. Whenever the chiyuv was chala on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're permitted to give it. So when the baby reaches Yom Lamed Aleph on Shabbos, so strictly speaking, it should be permissible to do the pidyon haben on Shabbos, because the chiyuv matnas kahuna was chala on Shabbos. Usually you're not allowed to give any matonis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it shouldn't be allowed. But the Gemara says if it's a matnas kuna that the chiyuv to give it was chal on Shabbos Yontav, then you may do it. So it's really a difficult. It's a chumrah that the Trumas Hadeshen has. You're not allowed to give pidyon ben on Shabbos. You're not allowed to give money. Not allowed to give cash. Cash is muktzav. Let's say you give food. You give sfarim worth chamish loin. So it should have been mutter, but many years we don't do it. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if the Yom Lamed Aleph is on Shabbos and you want to give the pidyon ben money before Shabbos, you can't say bracha before Shabbos. You're not yotze. If you give the money on Erev Shabbos, you're going to say the bracha on Shabbos. You can't do that either. The kohen still has the money on Shabbos. You can't do that either because you always have to say the bracha in connection with the Maisa HaMitzvah. You're not doing any Maisa. The Maisa HaMitzvah you did on Friday giving the money. So that's why, because of the bracha issue, you're going to lose the bracha. So that's why we never do pinyon ben on Shabbos, because if you give the money, before Shabbos, you can't say the bracha. Then you're not yotzei anything. Then you can't say the bracha on Shabbos because you're not doing the Maisa HaMitzvah. There's a Kiyum HaMitzvah then. But you're not doing the Maisa HaMitzvah. You only say a Brichas HaMitzvah in connection with the Maisa HaMitzvah. So that's what the Mishnah has over here, a case. Two couples, each one had a boy, and they mixed up the children. Nobody knows which baby belongs to whom. And both of the fathers gave the pidyon ben money to the Kohen, to the same Kohen, before Shabbos. Not Shabbos. Both of the before the Yom Lamed Aleph. Both gave before. You're not supposed to, because you're going to lose out on the bracha. You don't say the bracha when you give the money before Yom Lamed Aleph, because they're not yotzei in the mitzvah. Then when the Kohen still has the money on Yom Lamed Aleph, I can't say bracha, because you're not doing any Maisa mitzvah then. So they didn't do kiddin. Both of the fathers gave pidyon ben money to the same Kohen. And then, by the time it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, one of the babies died. And you don't know whose baby it was. So which one of them is entitled to get a refund? If the Kohen took the pidyon ben money and the baby dies before Yom Lamed Aleph, has to give back the money, but you don't know to whom he has to give it back. So since it's a suffix, so the Kohen keeps the money. So the Gemara explains, if they write a harshoah, one writes a harshoah for the other, so one of the two fathers comes to the Kohen and says, look here, we both gave you pidyon ben money, so one of the babies died, so either you have to give me the refund, you have to give the refund to the other person who authorized me to collect the refund on his behalf. So I come and I say, I want 5 sloim back, either for my baby's pidyon ben or for my friend's pidyon ben, and he gave me a harshoah. So if you make a harshoah, then one of the two has the right to demand, give me the 5 sloim. And then the two fathers will divide it amongst themselves. Each one will take $2.50. But if you're not going to make a harshoah, then each father will come to the Kohen and say, give me a refund. So the Kohen will say, no, maybe your baby is the baby who survived. The other baby died. So in this case, you say, Motan Chavela Varaya, the Kohen is the mukhsa, because both of the fathers gave the Kohen the pidyon ben money before the Yom Lamed Aleph. Okay, then we'll have to get back into Harshoah. We spoke a little bit less, because about 2 weeks ago about Harshoah. We'll have to get back a little bit some more on Harshoah. And Daf Mem Tes Amin Aleph. Okay, we should all be healthy, and with Tzoy Sashem, we will continue next 2 days, Tuesday night.
Okay.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Be good.